filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this one morning, I'm talking about none other than the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. I'm talking about the one that makes everything goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together as I welcome to the podium, Pastor Joyce Sani.
Praise the name of Jesus. A woman can preach any message with that kind of introduction from her husband. Praise the Lord. Whatever was going on before, the devil has already failed. If I wasn't feeling like preaching before, I feel like preaching now. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song to worship the Lord this morning. There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Sure. We're going to worship the Lord. We want to usher his presence even into this sanctuary. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. Oh, come.
Anointing in this place.
Anointing in this sanctuary.
Let every demon
bow. Is a still.
Every distraction, let it bow.
In the atmosphere. Oh, come lay down. The burdens you have carried.
Holy Spirit, take control.
For in the sanctuary, God is here.
That's good, that's good. Heavenly Father, we want to give you praise. We want to give you glory, oh God. We want to worship, we want to adore you. We want to thank you because you are the mighty God. We want to thank you because there is no one like you. We want to thank you because you're going to take glory even in this sanctuary today. We want to thank you because you have already gone ahead and the word will come like fire today. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, for it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And the people of God say, you may continue to stand because we're going to read the word of God together today. Amen. I am going to read a verse and you're going to read the next verse. And then I'm going to read a verse and you're going to read the next verse until we complete this scripture. And the scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 24. The book of Genesis, if we can have the King James Version, that would be great. Genesis chapter number 24, we're going to start from 1, and we're going to go all the way to 28. Genesis chapter number 24, verse 1 through 28. I will start, and then you will read. Amen. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell.
But thou shalt go unto my country and to my
And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred and which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter.
And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor.
And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even time that women go out to draw water.
And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and shew kindness unto my master Abraham.
Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water.
And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master.
And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher.
And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink.
And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking.
And ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels.
And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord hath made his journey prosperous or not.
And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for a hand of 10 shekels weight of gold.
We're going to stop there. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We get the gist. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Choir, thank you so much. I would like for you to be seated so you can enjoy the word of the Lord this morning. The title of the sermon this morning is Before You Say I Do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Before You Say I Do. Now, there are several people in our congregation that are already married, amen. And just because you are married does not mean that you cannot still learn from the Word of God. Because the reason why you are married is because God has given you an assignment and a ministry to be able to minister to those that are coming after you. Amen. And for those of you that have not yet said I do, the question for you this morning is, what do you do or how do you prepare before you say I do? Amen. When we need to understand first and foremost is before you say I do, before you go into marriage, there is one thing you must first understand, and that is divorce is not an option. Amen, somebody. Divorce, it's best to know it before you step into it, so that when you step into it, you know exactly what you are prepared to get yourself into. Because the moment you say, I do, divorce is no longer an option. The option now is for better and for worse. I went to a church once, and they said for better and for better. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says that we are promised trials and tribulation. Amen. Trials and tribulation will come into our lives. Trial and tribulation will come into our marriage. Therefore, it is right for us to have a vow that says, for better and for poor, for richer, and so on and so forth, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death. And only death can do us part. So the question is, from this reading, what exactly should we do to prepare ourselves for marriage? Pastor has already told us that marriage is not a contract. It's not a deed. It's not something you sign. In fact, it is not the paper that you sign that makes you married. Marriage is a covenant, and not just any kind of covenant. Marriage is a blood covenant. Amen. And we look in this scripture. The reason why I wanted us to read this scriptural text is to see how and what we can do when we compare the children of this age to the children of the olden age. I can almost guarantee if a man came to any young person that is of marriageable age and say, I have gone all this way and I see that you have this bucket of water. This bucket of water didn't come easily. She had to walk miles. She had to dip her pitcher into the well and bring forth this water. And now she has gotten what she came for. She is on her way back home. And here comes a stranger that says, let me drink of what you have gotten. Most people this day in age will say, you better come. Who is you to try to ask me? You got the what? In fact, the well is right over there. I can give you my little cup so you could get you your own. That is the mentality of the people that we are, or I should say the generation that we are in at this time. But this woman called Rebecca was trained by a family that makes her understand that it is valuable to give. It is valuable to give of yourself. It is valuable to be able to extend a ministry to somebody else. One of the first things that is important when we are talking about the scheme of things and we're looking at what should happen, how do we portray ourselves when we say, before you say, I do, what are the things we should work on? The first thing that I want to mention that Rebecca painted so well is behavior. The behavior of the current generation is not very good. And it is so sad that we are not spending enough time in the church to correct the behavior. We as parents in the homes are not spending enough time to correct behavior. If you notice a behavior in your son or your daughter and you refuse to correct it, that means that that is what and the baggages that they're going to take into their marriage. A lot of people want to talk about only spiritual things, but what Rebecca demonstrated was not spiritual necessarily, but it was a behavior thing. The man of God said, Lord, I want you to just have something with me right now. My master has given me such a task, and this task is so difficult. How do I begin to pick the right woman? But Lord, when a woman's behavior is correct, when a person's behavior is right, the chances are their heart is in the right condition. Your behavior speaks volume about the content of your heart. Your behavior speaks volume about what is brewing in your spirit. If you woke up on the wrong side of the bed one morning and somebody comes to you, you may say something that is absolutely going to disqualify you and you don't even know it. A lot of people say, because I'm speaking to an individual, but this individual that I'm speaking to, that I'm having a conversation with, or that is asking me a question, is not my type. Therefore, I don't have to show forth my good behavior. I don't really have time today because this person is not my type. And so you speak to this individual in any kind of way. But the one that is your type is on the corner looking at how you speak to people. And automatically, before they even come to you, you have already been disqualified. This woman called Rebecca, this man, this servant is obviously older. It's not that she was interested in him, but because of the condition of her heart, because of the preparation that her parents had given her, because she understood that kindness is not just to people that you feel you know, but kindness is something you should do on a broad basis. Rebecca demonstrated an excellent behavior. She showed that it is important for us to have a proper behavior and to be able to keep ourselves in a particular way in order for us to find or to prepare ourselves to go into a lifelong covenant. Somebody say amen. When we talk about personality, personality is something that even though you were raised in a particular environment, and the environment that you saw is that you grew up in is not necessarily the best, it is up to you as an individual to make sure that you retrain yourself and you use the word of God to shape who you're truly going to be. Amen. A lot of the things that is said in this day and age is that things like submission is now out of the door. Things like there's got to be a head in a marriage and there's got to be someone to follow. Those things are not necessarily what is being spoken about, but I'm here to let you know this morning that submission is not something that is whether in or out, but submission is something of God. And it is best not to work on submission. When you are already in the marriage, it is best to begin to work on submission before you get married. Now, God will bring certain people into your life that will, you know, when you say, God, I want to learn submission, how you think you're going to learn it? You're going to learn it by God bringing people into your life that's going to require you to submit to difficult people like Pastor Joyce Sonny. Challenging people. People that will rebuke you sharply. Guess what? Pastor Joyce Sonny may be preparing you for that mother-in-law that is going to be strong and bold, that is going to speak to you any old way. The truth is the truth. And if you allow yourself to learn while there is still hope, When you get into that situation, you can smile at the devil and say, devil, I've been through this before. Then you begin to thank God for Pastor Joyce Sani. Oh, Lord, if it wasn't for Pastor Joyce Sani that made me go through it time and time again. All of a sudden, she's harsh. She would just, rah! I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't. You have a choice. You can walk out of Pastor Joyce Sani's life and not allow God to use you in that training. If you walk out of Pastor Joyce Sani's life, I'm just using her as an example of somebody that God has put in your life to teach you a lesson or two. How is it and will you walk out of the life of your mother-in-law? Because of your mother-in-law, will you walk out of your marriage? The question continues to remain that it is best to learn submission while there is still hope. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are talking today about what do we need to do and how should we prepare ourselves before we say I do. So when we talk about marriage being a covenant and not a commitment, like Pastor mentioned to us, we need to understand what that means. And I say that because you never know what you're going to ultimately have to face. And while you're facing it, if you have already prepared yourself, before you go into it and you've made a decision, I remember before I got married, I made a decision that no matter what, it doesn't matter how terrible, I will not go into the same bloodline flow, generational curse that flows in my family. And I've told you that. And it's a testimony today for me and for those that are in my family. And I've mentioned it even when I'm on the road, that with my particular life, my mother was married first to one man. And the man was so abusive. In fact, anything that is in her skirt, he did, including the house helps that were in the home. It got so bad that the house help got pregnant for the man. And when she delivered, guess who had to take care of the baby? My mother. As though that is not bad enough, that's not a big deal. Most women stay in an abusive marriage like that where their husband is cheating. It's a normal thing in that part of the world. But he cheats, whatever. That is not really the reason why she left. She got to a point, she was pregnant with twins, and I don't know if he beat her or something. It was something, situation that was so terrible that ended her up in a hospital. And she lost both twins. And so at that moment, she made a decision that before this man kills me and takes my life, let me walk out. And so she got herself into another marriage. Let me tell you something this morning. The question is not what happened. There will always be something. Things don't just abracadabra and happen. The same way God does not do abracadabra, trust me, the devil does not do abracadabra also. He will create a scenario and he will create a situation that will force you to do something against God. And so she left that marriage and married another man. Now, when you make a decision, you need to understand that the decisions that you make, it flows down the bloodline. You can erase a mistake, but you cannot erase it from your bloodline. Because guess what? My mother had five, including me. And she had two boys, making seven. The first child was a girl. The same way she left her first husband and went for another one. Second, same thing. Third, same thing. I need you to understand something. When you make a decision, it goes down your bloodline. And so I, being the last and the fifth daughter, two boys are in front of me. I looked at the situation. Thank God for wisdom. And I assessed the situation. And I said, what exactly is wrong with this picture? The first thing to be able to do in order to break the back of curses is to be able to identify it. The second thing that you need to do in order to break the back of curses is to make a decision which way you will go. make a decision on, are you going to follow in these steps or not? And so I looked at the situation. I said, what is wrong with this picture? The first thing that was wrong with this picture is that they were not Christians. None of them. The second thing that was wrong with the situation was the fact that they did not make a decision before they went in. Before you say, I do, make a decision. Before Rebecca went to the river that day, she made a decision that she's going to be selfless. She made a decision that she was going to learn whatever it is that is necessary because she is now at a marriageable age. So I made a decision that first of all, I'm going to give my life to Christ. The second decision that I made was that I was going to marry a man that loves God. The third decision that I had to make, because you know, the devil is so wicked. Just because you marry a man of God or you marry somebody that loves God does not mean that you will not still go through trials or tribulation. And I was prepared for the devil. And so I said to the devil, devil, you know what? Not only am I giving my life to the Lord, not only am I going to marry a man that loves God, but I am making a decision today. Come rain, come shine, come the worst situations that the life has ever seen. I will not leave this marriage because I understood that it is a covenant that says only death can do us part, a covenant that says that I am under a new blood and a new covenant because if I trust God, it is impossible for me not to be able to go through the waters and come out all right. I made a decision that, you know, some people will be thinking, well, what if it's so bad? I mean, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you can't go through a bad situation. I made a decision that, Lord, I am going to trust you. I have done what I can do, and that is to give my life to you. I have done what I can do, and that is to marry a man after your heart. The thing that I need you to do is to make sure that you have a little talk with him, to make sure that you bring order in the home, to make sure that if he ever goes astray, the power and the glory that you have will bring him back. I made a decision that before I say I do, I will not step out no matter what. And so am I saying that if what happened to my mother happened to me, will I not step out? The answer to this question is very simple. I am not going by faith. I'm not going by sight, I mean. I'm not going by what has already happened because I understand something that is in my life, and that is a new covenant, a new blood. The blood that flows through my vein, it's not the blood of my ancestors. The blood that flows through my vein is the blood of Jesus that has renewed every covenant. And so I'm not worried about what happened to my mama because I know the God that I serve is a mighty God that will keep me. And when trouble does come, I know that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Let me tell you, it's so easy to say these words, but I want you to understand that there is no marriage that does not go through. There is no marriage that does not have rocky roads. So don't think that I'm a single person up here telling you a story. I am a married woman that has gone through. But I still stand that it is his rod and his staff that comforts me. There was a time and a season I realized that my life was a yo-yo. And Pastor has given that testimony many times, so I'm not saying anything to put him on blast. I noticed that when my husband is happy, I'm happy. When my husband is sad, I'm sad. When he's up, I'm up. When he's down, I'm down. I said, this is not going to work because my life is a yo-yo. And what I'm supposed to do in his life is to be a helpmeet, is to be able to help him when he's weak and vice versa. So if I am on the same emotional roller coaster, emotional page, that means when he's up, I'm up. When he's down, I'm down. Who is going to catch who when the times rough. So I made a decision, another decision. I'm saying to you this morning, before you say I do, it is all about decision. You have to determine in your mind. You have to make up in your mind that this is how it's going to go, and that is the only final thing. So I made a decision one day. I said, I cannot be on the same wave as he is emotionally. So I had to pray to God to free me from that. That whenever he's upset, then I'm not happy and I can't get anything done. I can't fix the house. I can't go to work. I'm just sad, messed up in my spirit. So I prayed to God to free me from that. And so when he came home one night, I said, honey, you are not the source of my joy. It sounds harsh. It sounds like it's not something that should come out of the mouth of that which is married. But I had to come to that realization and let him understand that, sweetheart, you are not the source of my joy. When I said it, it didn't sound right to him in his ears, but not knowing that what I'm saying is going to benefit the both of us, I had to realize that Jesus is the source of my joy. Jesus is the reason why I smile. Jesus is the reason why I can get up in the morning. Because if I make it him, when he's going through, I will be down and not be able to serve my Lord. There is a greater husband that I have. His name is Jesus. And when I am okay with Jesus, I can be okay with my earthly husband. Before you say, I do, make a decision that the husband or the wife cannot be the source of your joy. When your source is Jesus and that spouse needs encouragement, you can arise from the throne room of Jesus and be able to encourage him so that you can get both of you out of the situation. So the question that I also want to ask this morning, when it comes to being prepared for marriage, or are you prepared for marriage, the question is, can you as a man defend your wife? Most men are not necessarily able to defend their wives. They allow people, any person, to talk to their wife any old way. It is not for me to stand up for myself when my husband is present. When my husband is present, he is the one that speaks and should be the one to know who and who not to speak to his wife in any way, shape, or form. So the question that I have for someone, before you say I do, can you stand up for your wife? Do you understand the scripture that says a man shall leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? Let me tell you, there's a lot of people who are married and they can't even speak to their mothers. They're too afraid. They're such a mama's boy that when the mother begins to speak against the wife or begin to treat the wife in an inappropriate way, they cannot say anything. Yet the scripture says that you will leave your mother, leave your father, and cling to your wife. The two shall become one flesh. If they are mistreating your wife, they have mistreated you. If they curse your wife, they have cursed you. If they say anything that is wrong to your wife, then they did not understand what they were saying when they were handing you over. Because when they were handing you over to that family, they said the two shall become one flesh. And if your mother-in-law or anybody in your family can curse your wife, they don't have an understanding of your marriage. So the question is, before you say I do, are you man enough? Are you bold enough with respect with respect. I always say a woman who may be going through in her marriage with her in-laws or with people that are in her family that may be making her uncomfortable, it is important for you to know before you get married, no matter how bad it gets, you treat them with honor and respect and believe that God will speak to your husband to stand up and handle the situation. No matter how bad your mother-in-law may be, no matter how bad your brother-in-law may be, you must understand that you must never be outside of your mouth to disrespect, because that will be something that you're creating again in your bloodline. If you do it to her, somebody might do it to you, and it might be a whole lot worse. So it is up for a man who is now preparing and saying, am I ready for marriage? Before I say I do to a man, to a woman rather, am I strong enough and equipped enough in my mind to stand up for my wife? When somebody speaks about her, see, this is one thing that I appreciate about Pastor. It doesn't matter what kind of a terrible news you bring about me. It doesn't matter how bad you try to paint me. He will just look at you and he will say, thank you. I married her. And she's good for me. Let me tell you, at the beginning of this ministry, the roads were very tough. We had people in this ministry in the beginning that would come to Pastor and say that the reason why is because of your wife. Can you imagine somebody saying that the reason why your husband's ministry is not growing is because of you? Maybe it's not necessarily true, but when it is said to you, it destroys the little bit of gut that you have on the inside. It makes you feel shattered on the inside. Or for somebody, you know, I'm using ministry as an example. What if somebody tells you that the reason why your husband's business is not growing, or the reason why things are not happening well for your husband, is because of you? It is something that you take tough. It's not easy. But one thing that I thank God for is that my husband never looked at me or tell me that perhaps they are right. He will grab me because he understood one thing. All those people today are no longer here. But who is still standing with Pastor Koye? All of you are brand new. But I am still here. And he recognized that. So it doesn't matter how people may paint you. The question is, as a man, do you know what to do to exonerate your wife? Do you know? Does that mean she's perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean some of the things that she's accused with is not true? No, some of them are true. But the Bible says for better and for worse. That means only death can do you part with her good, her bad, and her ugly. She is still your wife. And you, are you man enough to be able to do that? When we talk about men and women, we come from two different mindsets. Men have a certain way of thinking. It is impossible for me to finish this sermon today. Men have a certain way of thinking. Women have another way of thinking. And our responsibility are two different things. Men are givers. They sow seeds. They give seeds. They give, they disperse. They are pollinators. They spread pollen. Women, on the other hand, are receivers. In every anatomy of a woman, she is a receiver. In the act of sex, she is a receiver. In life in general, she is a receiver. Women are created to receive. So a man sows a seed and a woman incubates the seed. God gave her a womb. A womb is it's like a soil, like the ground. When you give a woman a seed, she nurtures the seed. She provides nutrient for the seed. She turns that seed into something greater. When you give a woman a seed, just like the Holy Spirit gave Mary, the seed of the Holy Spirit, when she nurtured that seed and she incubated that seed came forth as a mighty tree. It is impossible for you to think that when you go into marriage, this is the right time for you to understand this truth, that when you are going in, go in with the knowledge and the understanding that you are one, and you cannot do one without the other. So when somebody comes and tries to separate the two, you can let them understand. Let me give you another example of me. The best example I can give you is of me. Amen. So there's a lot of people who think that they could honor the husband but dishonor the wife. The prayer cannot be answered because there is no separation between the two. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh. If you honor one and dishonor the other, it doesn't work, because you must honor the both, because the both are the ones that makes the one. Pastor said that when you come together, you're not coming together as one. It says the two shall become one. It's not just one. It is one flesh. And so there is no separation. If the man, you believe in God for, let's say, the man of God, you're saying that, Lord, I want my man of God to pray for me and this, and you're going to go to him and to bless you. And when he gives the seed, his wife incubates the seed, and it brings forth the blessing, because it takes two. That's why there is dysfunctionality in this day and age. When you have a family where it's just the mother, it becomes very difficult to raise children on your own. Some things will be lacking. Or when you have just the father, it's lacking. Something is wrong. There is a balance that a man and a woman must bring. So you can't possibly marry somebody of the same sex and expect to raise balanced children. No matter how you try to be a woman, if you do not have the ingredients of a woman and you do not have the nature of a woman, it is impossible for you to give what a woman can give. It doesn't matter how much hair you grow. What makes a woman is not the hair. What makes a woman is not necessarily the breast. What makes a woman a woman, it can never be given. You cannot copy God to the exact. What makes a woman is not her breast. What makes a woman is not her long, beautiful hair. What makes a woman is the incubator that she carries, that will nurture and bring forth a mighty seed. And there is no science that has been able to give a man that wants to be a woman a womb. It is impossible. You can never do it. Only God. It is reserved for only one. And that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end of all things. So before you say I do, understand that if you put God first, everything else shall be added unto you. It is impossible for me to tell you in 40 minutes how to prepare yourself before you say, I do. One of the things that I want to say finally before we pray is that if you are in a situation that you have already broken covenants before you get married, you have already brought upon yourself, or you are under a particular bondage, then it is almost impossible for you to be able to go into a marriage. So before you say, I do, it is the time to be able to say to yourself, I need to get rid of the old baggage, because some of the baggages that is stopping men or stopping women from saying yes to you or vice versa is because in the realm of the spirit, perhaps you are already married. Let me tell you, it is not the paper that you sign that makes you married. It is when Rebecca was presented to Isaac, the Bible said that Isaac took her into his mother's tent and went into her. That is what makes the marriage. It is the consummation of that marriage that really makes it that you are married. So when you have already broken covenants, a lot of people are ready to get married, but they're wondering why no one is approaching them. A lot of men are ready to get married and they're asking, but no one is saying yes. It is important for us to be able to look in the realm of the spirit and say, is there something wrong in the spirit? I remember I went to minister somewhere and the Lord allowed me to minister to a young lady who, there are people in her life, guys, she's surrounded by guys. And these guys are not saying anything to her. They're not proposing to her. And there's this one particular one that's, it's not necessarily really a boyfriend because she's still a virgin. It's not necessarily a boyfriend, but at the same time, he's not popping the question. He's just there. And so what I saw in the realm of the spirit is when men come to her, there is an aura around her that says that she's taken. There is something about her that lets the guy know that she's unavailable. Because the man that is taking up space in her life is making it look like she's married, but she really is not. And so her life is at a standstill. There are many things that can stop you from moving forward into a marriage covenant. Things like when you have been molested as a child, when you have been raped, when you have broken the covenant yourself, you've had multiple sexual relations, when you have gone through things like disappointment, you were engaged and the engagement was broken. Just because the engagement was broken does not mean that you are released in the spirit necessarily. Because what happens is, even though you were engaged and the engagement was broken, there is a familiar spirit that has remained with that person. And so when people come to you to try to approach you, it looks to them as though you are already taken. I want you to stand with me this morning. And I want to call everything together because I don't want anybody to know the reason why you're coming forward. But today you will be delivered. Today, you will be set free. Today, you will leave alone. And the life and the reason why you are not able to get married will be broken off of your life. And so, if you have ever been molested as a child, if you've ever gone through any kind of rape, abuse of any kind, somebody beating you in a relationship, and you weren't even married yet, somebody misusing you in a relationship, speaking to you in an ill way, there is something called familiar spirit that is not allowing you to move forward. If you have been disappointed, you were engaged, the person said they were going to marry you, all of a sudden it was broken. I want those people to come forward so that we can pray for them this morning. Amen. I mentioned everything together, but I want you to come forward. You know your situation. You know your case. Or you are ready, but there is no wife. You are ready, but there is no husband. I want you to come today because there is deliverance in the house of the Lord. Choir, will you please come and sing that song that we started with again very quickly. There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary, and we're going to lay down the burdens. If you are single, you're not married yet. I remember when Pastor was doing the series is coming to an end now. He prayed for married people. In fact, if you are single, so that it doesn't look like you know what you're dealing with, you know what you've been, what you've been doing and what you didn't do. So I'm not even going to just say if you have an issue, you've been molested, you've been abused or whatever. If you are single and of marriageable age, I want you to come so that everybody is in that same umbrella. If you've had a covenant with somebody before, then we can break that covenant. If whatever it is, if you are single under the sound of my voice this morning and you're ready to move forward, Who's going to sing the song for me? Praise God. You can be here and sing it too. You guys are single all up here, except for you. I need you all. If you're married, are you a marriageable age? You're still in high school. Sing from down here. Praise God. Lift up your hands before God. Pastor, will you please come? I need as many ministers as possible to come. We're going to pray for these ones. Today they will be set free. Today they shall be delivered. Today they will move forward. Today in the name of Jesus. Not tomorrow, but today in the name of Jesus. If you are of marriageable age, I want you to come. Pastor, we're just going to pray for them and break the curses, break them, the familiar spirits, everything that is holding them back. We break it off of their life in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing that song for me.
Sweet anointing in the sanctuary.
Is in the house today. 2015 is rounding up, oh God. We thank you for the breakthroughs for 2015. We thank you for the marriages of 2015. Father, 2016 is coming. There shall be weddings in this church. There shall be marriages in this church. And for everyone that is married, the enemy will not break your home. In the name of Jesus. The bitterness And the pain that you're experiencing, may the Lord turn it around. Double for your trouble. Double honor. Double grace. Double glory. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And the people of God say, amen.